War Room, Impeachment. With Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome to War Room Impeachment. It's 16 December, year of our Lord, 2019. We're live from a dreary Capitol Hill. It's episode 73. My wingman, Jason Miller, the chief communication strategist for Donald Trump's 2016 campaign, the greatest come from behind victory in American political history, and also the communications director for the transition. We're live on the John Fredericks Radio Network, the Salem Broadcast Radio Network, nationwide, americasvoice.news, and now on Newsmax TV, the fastest growing news cable news operation in the country, passing 70 million homes. We're here 7 days a week. We had actually yesterday on the Sunday show, John Fredericks himself from Doha, the Doha conference in Qatar. And we're going to do it every day, 7 days a week, until the day after the acquittal of Donald J. Trump, the 45th president of the United States. This week is starting off as a dreary week. Weather-wise, it's also going to be a dreary week in our nation's capital. For only the third time in the history of this republic, we are going to impeach a sitting president. Nancy Pelosi and this kind of radical cadre of the Democratic Party are going to take out of the Rules Committee what the Judiciary Committee sent them, two articles of impeachment, abuse of power, and obstruction of Congress. They're going to vote on it on Wednesday. They're going to pass it, and they're going to send it to the Senate for a trial. This began on the 14th of October of 2019. I gave a radio interview on the John Fredericks Radio Network on the show and talked about how Nancy Pelosi had, on September 24th, had started this inquiry, and she was leading to three charges, I said, at the time of impeachment, that she would bring approximately on December 20th or 21st to vote those articles of impeachment against Donald J. Trump. And the pushback I got, that was fake news. It was deep state. It was witch hunt. And I said, yeah, it's all of those. Maybe all of it combined, maybe more of some or less of the other. But that sure is the turning of the earth that she is going to bring those articles of impeachment on 17th of October at the premiere of my film on Huawei, The Claws of the Red Dragon. Gave an interview with the New York Post afterwards. And, of course, the New York Post didn't want to talk about anything about Huawei or the film. They wanted to talk about impeachment. That article went up on Saturday in the New York Post. It went viral, went on Daily Mail. And on that Sunday, we started, which would be the 18th, 19th, 20th. The 20th, we conceived this idea. On the 21st, we had our first practice show with Jason Miller and Raheem Kassam, Raheem being our wingman from the United Kingdom. That was one of the chief communication architects and back of Nigel Farage's rise in Brexit, which was the other part of the nullification project. Brexit in 2016 being inextricably linked in the nullification, the backing down of working class and middle class people by the established order in the United Kingdom and the established order in the United States. Well, last week, the people of the United Kingdom spoke in a loud and clear voice. They want their sovereignty back. They want their country back, and they're going to get it. On January 31st of this year, they will leave the European Union, and the United Kingdom will be a free and democratic nation from that time. But this week, on Wednesday, we're going to impeach the 45th President of the United States. And I did the John Fredericks radio show, sitting in for John, Jason, and Raheem had sat in for him Thursday and Friday with John's in Doha. And I started in Taipei with Kurt Mills, one of the top young voices of the conservative movement, America First National Security Policy, at the National Interest magazine and at American Conservative, and went to had Peter Bergen on about Trump and his generals, had one of the leaders of the Beirut presentations and protest. And you see what's going on in the world, and you see how President Trump has a different point of view than the interagency consensus or the Washington consensus. That consensus you can see every morning on Morning Joe, whether it's Richard Haass or David Ignatius or any other of the people that literally, as the Washington Post now shows us in the Afghan papers, have spent $2 trillion of your money and blood and treasure and wasted 2,400 lives of American men and women in Afghanistan and tens of thousands more of combat casualties and families destroyed by the 5, 6, 7, 8 deployments that these non-commissioned officers that are careerist, give their country their careers as they serve the military for their entire lives. And so on Morning Joe this morning, in the week that we kick off this impeachment, we have the one and only Chuck Schumer is there to talk about this. And I now want to turn to Jason Miller. You know, they've often said that the most dangerous territory in Washington, D.C., is not the inner city, but the most dangerous territories between Chuck Schumer and a microphone. And he's been noticeably quiet in this entire process. He's been very quiet about everything that's going on. He came out the other day about China. We'll get to that a little later. But this morning, he threw down hard on Morning Joe, did he not, Mr. Jason Miller?
He certainly did. And the difference between Chuck Schumer and a Nancy Pelosi is that Speaker Pelosi will run headfirst into a buzzsaw. She doesn't care if she loses her entire
teeth move or something.
So, all right, real quick on the president's tweet, which I was sitting next to my wife when the president put the tweet out. I, of course, start laughing hysterically. My wife is aghast, like, what's going on here? I thought that question, when she had her town hall with Jake Tapper, that question popped in my mind. I mean, if you saw that day, I'm just saying, many people are saying that they've noticed it for the longest time. Anyways, we'll get back to the president's tweet in a little bit. But the difference between Schumer and Pelosi is that
you're so bad. This is why we can't get above 50% approval. We'll get into that later. It's such a personal shot.
I know. It's so glorious. And so anyway, so Pelosi will run right in that buzzsaw. Schumer really—
She's fearless.
Fearless. Schumer picks and chooses his battles. And so what Schumer—
He's not fearless.
Correct. Schumer realizes that there's an opportunity here with the White House and the Republican Senate debating on how they want to set up this trial in the Senate, witnesses or no witnesses.
But let's talk about it. This is something very fundamentally different that now that these articles of impeachment are going to be voted on, he's going to be impeached. We come to a fork in the road. He's going to be acquitted, but it's the price of either the acquittal, which is just the quick and dirty, which in Doha, right? Lindsey Graham told us he's going to do, and what Mitch McConnell, the master, politician in the Senate, wants to do, or we're going to get down in the mud in the muck of the House with the Matt Gaetzes and the Lee Zeldins and the Jim Jordans and the Mark Meadows, and we're actually going to call fact witnesses, as Louie Gohmert calls them, and actually have a trial and go back and bring up the whistleblower and bring up Hunter and Joe Biden and bring up Adam Schiff and bring up all this. One, you're going to read depositions, and the others you're actually going to have live people on global TV answering tough questions. That's the fork in the road, right?
Yes, and particularly with the whistleblower. CNN just had the Boeing whistleblower on a moment ago. I believe the gentleman's name is Ed Pearson, and he's there, he's on TV, he's wearing it on his sleeve, and while I don't know all the details of it, this is someone who, look, there have been a lot of issues with the 737, and so if there's anything safety related, I'm very glad that someone stood up on this issue. He's going on CNN and wearing it on his sleeve and being, hey, I was the whistleblower here. I'm trying to save lives. Here's what it's about. On the flip side, you have this whistleblower in the administration who was not on the phone call, who has a fundamental foreign policy disagreement with President Trump. The one single person who started this entire drama, and they don't want to have their name or their face on any of it, even though there's been no shred of proof that President Trump or anyone in his administration did anything wrong. So let me go back to where we started this question, Steve. Chuck Schumer sees this opening between where the White House, where the president is, when he wants witnesses. He wants to bring in the whistleblower. He wants Adam Schiff. He wants Hunter Biden. He wants to get the bottom of this corruption. He wants complete exoneration, as you.
He wants to be said that he's innocent. He's not looking for acquittal. The president of the United States says, I did nothing wrong. This is a perfect call. This is why I was hired by the American people to go against the Washington consensus, to get our allies to chip in and to look at corruption and to make sure that every penny that we spend is well spent. He doesn't want acquittal. He wants exoneration. He wants at the end of saying Donald J. Trump was innocent.
And even a step bigger than that is the fact that we're sending hundreds of millions of dollars every single year to Ukraine, the third most corrupt country in the world. And by the way, we always say it's the third most corrupt. I was doing some research last night. In 2017, it was the most corrupt country. So I guess they're improving, right? They've gone from first to third.
Man, that's a badge of honor.
Yeah, so that's
in the world as it is, yeah, that's a badge of honor.
I can't believe they got rid of Poroshenko. I mean, the guy, made such massive strides to go from one to three on the corruption scale. But Trump wants to get to the bottom of that and root it out before we're sending more money. So on the flip side, we have members of the Senate, Senator McConnell, Senator Graham, and others who want this done. They want it over with. So Chuck Schumer, seizing on this opportunity, put out his opening shot, his gambit, saying saying, you know what? Here are the people. We will do witnesses. We want four. We want Mick Mulvaney, his deputy Robert Blair, who's kind of the go-between with the with OMB. We want former NSA Bolton, John Bolton.
And we want Duffy from OMB.
Duffy okay. And Pompeo.
And Pompeo. Let's take a short commercial break. We're here on the War Room Impeachment, Episode 73, live from Capitol Hill. Jason Miller, Stephen K. Bannon. Short commercial break. We'll return on John Frederick Radio Network, Salem Broadcasting, America's Voice.News, and Newsmax TV. We'll be back in a moment.
War Room Impeachment. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, Episode 73, live from Capitol Hill on a dreary day, beginning a dreary week. Here with Jason Miller. My wingman, Raheem Kassam's out on assignment today. We have a clip we want to play. I just want to answer the question. Is this a clip of your C-SPAN efforts yesterday?
Yep. I was on with Steve Scully taking calls from people.
I like guys that are suffering. Normally, the clips from I like a guy that puts a clip up by himself. We're just doing the highlight reel from C-SPAN yesterday, fully curated. No, you were fantastic. Let's hear it.
And what about in the Senate? Will Mitch McConnell proceed with a trial, or would he vote immediately to acquit the president? What do you think he'll do?
So this is the big debate that's coming up. President Trump has made very clear that he wants to have witnesses at this trial. Specifically, he wants to see the whistleblower. He wants to see Hunter Biden. He wants to see Adam Schiff brought before as witnesses. In the Senate side, both Leader McConnell and Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina have said they want to have it done and over with quick. But President Trump wants to be fully exonerated. Here. This isn't a matter of just voting down these two articles of impeachment, which obviously I disagree with very strongly, but President Trump wants to be fully exonerated. So this is going to be, I think we haven't heard the last of this. We're going to hear a lot more about it over this coming week.
But what was the audience response? You were taking calls from Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. As you sat there in the time you were there, what's your general takeaway? Because the C-SPAN crowd that calls in, I'd love watching C-SPAN because I consider it the good government crowd. They're people that are very engaged. Citizens are engaged. What was your takeaway where the country is?
Country very divided on this issue. People are genuinely united on the issue of spending, corruption. They're mad at Washington. Even the Democrats, even the folks who aren't going to be voting for President Trump this next go around, they want to know about this revolving door with politicians. They want to know what's motivating people. And there's really this distrust. And so when we go back to that bigger picture of how Trump gets reelected in 2020, he has to remain the outsider.
Let's go back to this right now to the trial. One thing you mentioned, Lindsey Graham, or I think I did about in Doha, and about Lindsey Graham says, as soon as we got the votes, I want to call the vote and just move on with this thing. There was something as reported that Lindsey Graham said that I thought was disturbing. He said one of the reasons he didn't want a trial about witnesses is that he didn't want Hunter and Joe Biden to call, and he went on about how Joe Biden was his buddy. He had been all over the world with John McCain and Joe Biden. Joe Biden this, Joe Biden that. Joe Biden's a decent guy. How is that supposed to set with the deplorables?
And this is the thing that the media wants to confuse, and this is where I'm afraid Senator Graham is going, is Hunter Biden was dead center in all of this corruption in Ukraine. Joe Biden was dead center in all this corruption in Ukraine. Keep in mind, Joe Biden was the one who famously bragged at the CFR conference that he withheld $1.5 billion in aid to Ukraine unless a specific prosecutor was fired. Hunter Biden was on the board of Burisma, a Ukrainian energy company making between $50,000 and $83,000 a month with no energy sector experience. Burisma is being investigated right now by the Ukrainian government. I mean, these guys were right in the center. And let's keep in mind, the media wants to, anytime we bring up corruption in Ukraine, they want to go to this CrowdStrike point that nobody's making. That's with the DNC server. What we're talking about is the fact that Ukrainian interference in the 2016 election, where they went and manufactured that ledger that led to the dismissal of Paul Manafort. So they're intentionally meddling in an American campaign. That's real deal interference.
Where do you think, tell me what Schumer's play was this morning. Let's go back because we had to jump to break. Who are the four he threw down today? He said, hey, if President Trump wants to declare, have a trial to show his innocence, if President Trump wants to be exonerated and just not acquitted, then we got some witnesses we'd like to call too. Let's go back over the witnesses that he said today he wants to call.
Yeah, so the four, then we'll go and unpack them. So you had Mick Mulvaney, chief of staff. You have Michael Duffy.
Acting chief of staff and still technically head of OMB.
Correct. Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and then also NSA John Bolton. And so those are the four folks. And what, and obviously there are things like executive privilege and things where Republicans would have to vote to approve any package. But what essentially Schumer is trying to do, and he's playing the media like absolute fiddles right now, because he's throwing down people who...
He's got Blair or Duffy, one of the other OMB guys, too. He wants into the OMB. It's clear in this, in the direction he's going. He wants to get fact witnesses up there that are going to walk through the OMB process, DOD process.
Yeah, and at the bottom of this, I mean, keep in mind, OMB started this process to hit the pause button on aid to Ukraine a full month before the July 25th phone call.
Yeah, in June. The Josh Dossi story, I don't think it's getting any traction at all.
It's not getting any. The media wants
to... It's exculpatory, don't you think?
Completely. The media wants to sweep it under the rug. And even well before that, the NDAA, which is a funding mechanism that funds a good chunk of our government, that's where aid to Ukraine comes from.
That's the National Defense Authorization Act, right? That's the technical thing you have to go through to actually get all this thing triggered.
Correct. For the last number of years, even going back to the Obama administration, it requires, the language in that requires all 435 members of Congress, 100 members of the Senate vote on this thing. It requires that there are anti-corruption efforts in place if we're going to give aid to Ukraine.
Because we don't want the money going to these countries where the leaders, and we just had the woman from Beirut, the $80 billion they've stolen from Lebanon and they have in Swiss bank accounts, right? You can't find the money. That's what the NDAA was supposed to, as part of it, the Authorization Act, you had to really crack down on the corruption and make sure if American taxpayer dollars are going into something, that it's all money that's well spent.
Exactly. And want to go back on one thing that where I goofed on. It wasn't Pompeo. It was Mulvaney, Bolton, Blair, and Duffy. So
Duffy,
he's not calling Pompeo. That was my mistake earlier on. But
that's what I was trying to lead you to, but I didn't want to.
Well, you can call me out. I make mistakes too.
But that's right. He's focused on OMB for a reason.
Right, because he thinks that there's some magical paper trail that's going to say that
there's an email trail. That's what they're banking on.
Yeah, or some communication trail where it says that there's some quid pro quo, even though we've gone through, what, a dozen and a half witnesses. Not a single person has said that there's...
Oh, we had a guy from OMB actually went down and testified, one of the guys.
Right. I mean, and we even had folks that were going from the administration against the administration's will, and not a single one had any shred of evidence.
Do you understand the mechanism is to take 51 votes? They have to... He and Schumer and McConnell have to come to some agreement of actually what the rules of the trial are going to be.
Yeah, and this is where they're going to get to, obviously, the overall scope with witnesses. They're going to get to, all the parameters are up for debate. There's really nothing that's set. So how much time each side gets to present, what the rules are going to be for subpoenas.
Axios, Jonathan Swan and the great team over at Axios is reporting, and they're pretty good at scoops. They're reporting that the president is being swayed to come to the side of a quick and dirty. Let's do the acquittal and get out of here. When you got the votes, take the vote and let's move on.
Yeah, that's what they want to get to. But look, the facts are our friends here. And this is where I think folks listening to the show.
Even if you had to have the Mulvaney and you had to have these other witnesses to get to the whistleblower, to get to the shift, to get to the parties here that the president wants to call Hunter and Joe Biden, you would accept Mulvaney and the OMB guys?
Well, it's a little bit of a false choice in that we're not going to go there because they're going to maintain executive privilege. And if Schumer wants to go and sue to try to get these folks tied up in the courts for months or years.
But aren't the left going to say, hey, well, then you're having it both ways. You protect your witnesses, but we got to put the whistleblower up and you get executive privilege on the others?
Take a look at Al Green or Ann Kirkpatrick.
What's so classified about Ukraine?
Well, there isn't. I mean, and the facts have been our friends through this whole process. So if I had to trade, have those folks go up there. And on the flip side, we got Joe and Hunter Biden. We got the whistleblower. We got Shifty Adam Schiff, maybe even Nancy Pelosi.
That'd be
money.
That's
fine.
That's money, right?
I'm fine with that.
That's big time. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to return. By the way, we got starting at 10 o'clock, we're on Vox Populi for 2 hours. Jason Miller and myself will be taking calls 888-480-5646. We're going to return in a moment with War Room Impeachment.
Impeachment. With Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, 16 December, year of our Lord, 2019, episode 73. A dreary Washington, D.C. begins a dreary week. On Wednesday, we will impeach the 45th president of the United States. The radical cadre that now controls the Democratic Party will have not just a partisan vote, but a highly partisan vote. We're going to talk to my wingman, Jason Miller, here in a moment about that. We're on the John Frederick Radio Network, the Salem Radio Network nationwide, americasvoice.news, and Newsmax TV on cable TV. I want to go, by the way, at 10 o'clock, 10 to noon, we're going to be doing Vox Populi, which is a global call-in show. Our number is 888-480-5646. We're going to be joined by Lou Murray, the chairman of the Boston Catholic Radio Network. He's going to be at the White House later today at a meeting of Catholics over there at the White House. So glad to have Lou going to join us at Vox Populi. I want to go back. We got so much to cover, but we got to deal with the Schumer thing because the next big event, we know how this is going to end. We're going to talk about the Dirty 30 in a second. The trial is going to be everything, though, right? Don't you agree?
Absolutely, because it's a foregone conclusion what's going to happen this week in the House. I mean, in fact, if there's one big takeaway from today and hearing the negative media attention, everything going on, nothing is going to change from today through Wednesday's vote. In fact, ABC opened up this morning saying it's not going anywhere, meaning once it gets to the Senate. And as Rand Paul said on Jake Tapper yesterday, we saw the evidence. It's not like there's going to be any new evidence.
What the polling? Fox came out over the weekend with a poll. I know that you and the team are going through some of these polls that are coming out. Have the numbers changed? I mean, Greg Manns just sent us a new update on some analytics we're doing on some of the polling that's coming in. Has the polling changed? I mean, President's head blew up when he saw the Fox poll, right? Has the number shifted, or is it totally locked in? Are we trending more towards people getting tired of this? Where do you think we stand? You've been doing this for 25 years. Where do you think we stand as far as where the nation is?
That the country overall is still divided on party lines. Independents seem to be moving away from it a bit. Not a massive shift, but as both bases are starting to harden. The big difference, the big shift that we're seeing is in these swing states. We've seen poll after poll showing that in swing states, in swing districts, it is a negative. Here's why President Trump is pissed off, and he has every right to be. So the new Fox poll came out, said that there, I believe it was 51%, were in favor of the people in the U.S., are in favor of impeachment, of moving ahead here. That is outside the margin greater than just about anyone else who's out there right now. So you take CBS, for example. They were in the range, I think it was right in the 46 range, right at 46, 47 as far as people's support. Now, it was still a plurality in a CBS poll where more people wanted impeach than didn't, but it's outside the margin of error lower. And then you take the USA Today poll that also came out this weekend, and they had it at the 51% opposing. And so you can see this big swing here between USA Today saying we don't support impeachment to the CBS poll, which is a little bit somewhere in between, and then this Fox News poll, which is an outlier. It is outside the margin. And President Trump has every right to be ticked off. And one counterintuitive point here, Steve, I have never seen CNN or the Today Show rush so quickly to promote something from Fox News as I have with this poll. They're not pushing none of them are talking about the James Comey interview today, but they all want to talk about this Fox poll.
Why do they not want to talk about the James Comey interview?
Because it's bad for them.
Why?
Because James.
How bad was Comey? From a communications messaging strategist, why was Comey terrible?
He was completely terrible because he had to go on there and Chris Wallace just chopped him up into 1,000 pieces. I mean, just pulling from the Fox News story, I mean, Comey came right out and with regard to Horowitz said, he's right, I was wrong, as Horowitz referred to
the— You never want anything like that, just kind of apologize and not have any backup. He looked like he had no fight in him.
No, and his outfit looked like he stole it from Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. Like, it's basically like he had like this lumberjack shirt on, and then he had this—
He's dressed like Steve Bannon.
No. You have like a battle fatigue motif going on, and like you're ready to rumble. But this guy was like, I don't know, it was like the Gap met like a homeless guy in the woods of Maine. Like, it was really, and he had the collar open, so they're like, oh, he's a chill bro, because the collar's open. But it was just, it was weird. But here's the thing. Here's why it was a fundamental mistake by Comey to go and do this. because the only thing that could happen is that he would have to own up to and admit that he was wrong at so many things. So Horowitz,
you would say in that regard, you want to show up high and tight, nice suit, tie. You're still the FBI director, right?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, didn't need him to show up. Keep in mind what Horowitz said. He referred to the entire chain of command to the FBI and DOJ for how to assess and address their performance failures during the probe. And then Comey goes, he's right. I was wrong. So Comey just took ownership of the whole boondoggle.
Okay. We're going to take a short commercial break. We're in War Room Impeachment, Episode 73. Short commercial break. Return with Jason Miller, Stephen K. Bannon in a moment.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room Impeachment on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's 16 December, year of our Lord, 2019, Episode 73, The War Room Impeachment. John Fredericks Radio Network, Salem Broadcast Radio Network, nationwide, americasvoice.news, across the nation and the world, and of course, Newsmax TV, fastest growing news cable operation in the country. My wingman, Jason Miller, the campaign senior strategist for communications for President, then candidate Trump, then President-elect Trump on the transition. Jason, a historic week. We just heard the spot that was played on the radio station. They're bringing heavy ordnance onto the Dirty 30. Here in this radio network, just on the John Fredericks, across the country, it's everybody, all 30 of them. But here, it's particularly in Virginia 7 and Virginia 2, it's Elaine Luria and Abigail Spanberger. They're dropping heavy ordnance on these people communication-wise. Are they not?
They are, and here's the fundamental, debate going inside any of the heads of the Dirty 30, as they are so affectionately referred to. If they go and vote against this, if they say, you know what, it's not there, I'm worried about my political future, voters don't support this, independents clearly don't support this, they're worried about their Democratic money all drying up. They're worried that if they then were to lose, when they call Nancy Pelosi or Steny Hoyer and they want to get that meeting as a lobbyist, or if, say, a Democrat wins the presidency at some point in the future, they want an appointment, they're going to look back and say, you were squish, you didn't stand with us, you're out of here.
And one of the most, and one, obviously, this is only third time in the history of the Republic. So this is probably the most important single vote they'll ever take.
It is. And you take a look at, I think what's remarkable here and what's not being fully explained in the media is how hard Nancy Pelosi and her team are having to whip this vote.
Would you have thought on September 24th when she stepped up and big-footed President Trump's great speech on nationalism at the United Nations, and that afternoon she went before the microphone and said, we're beginning an impeachment inquiry. Being a professional like you are, did you ever believe she would come to a time that she had to whip the vote hard?
No. And this shows how
then
much.
Then who dropped the ball? How did it go from she's on a roll, they got this strategic plan, the president's people, for a whole bunch of reasons, nobody was really organized to defend it. The president says, a perfect call, got nothing to defend, let her have at it. But she had the wind to her back that in a couple of days before the vote, they're putting in dollars now to counter the advertising, they're whipping this vote, they already think they're going to get a couple of people that drop out. How did that happen?
Because this whole process became public. And when it was hidden, when it was in the basement of Schiff's speakeasy, when he was able to leak selective nuggets, there was no ability for—
to weaponize everything that came out.
Right. No ability for a cross-examination in public. But when it became public and people realized that it wasn't just wafer thin. I mean, wafer thin might be saying this thing. There's way more
there. Is this impeachment light? Is this because it's abuse of power and not bribery and not high crime and misdemeanor, not treason, not extortion, and it's obstruction of Congress, not obstruction of justice? Is President Trump right? Is this impeachment light?
Yes. And nobody in the Democratic caucus is happy about this. If you're in the Dirty 30, you're worried this might end your career. If you're part of the squad, Ilhan Omar and Ocasio-Cortez,
they still want blood.
They want blood. They want him physically removed from office by a couple of big tough dudes that work as bouncers on the weekends. They want him just hauled out of 1600 Pennsylvania. Neither side is happy.
People miss the historical significance of this. I know you're a student of history. Where do we stand? How important is this? And how important is this for President Trump's not just re-election in 2020, but 100 years from now when they look back at this time? How important is this week? How important is this for President Trump and his legacy? Because you know, other people dismiss it, but he's a student of history also.
Well, for the history books, they're going to try to, you would, well, let me back up for a second, because you would think that the history books would go back and say that this was some massive stain on President Trump's record. I think when the history books look back on it, they're going to say this is peak polarization, political polarization, and Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats.
You're saying that this was the height of the high tide of partisanship came during this vote.
Yes, and it's going to be looked at with, there'll be an asterisk next to the whole impeachment effort around President Trump. People will say there wasn't anything there. It didn't amount to anything. It got shot down. And this was peak partisan behavior. It's going to be completely different from the other impeachments in the past.
When President Trump, when they have this historic debate and vote, as it now planned for Wednesday, I think it may be moved a couple of days, but we'll see.
You just want to be right on the date.
I just want to be right. I'm so upset that, you know, 8 weeks ago I said the 2021st, and now we're going to move it a couple of hours forward. President Trump being a master communication strategist himself and a counterpuncher, the Floyd Mayweather of politics. Where's President Trump going to be when that vote's taking place?
He's going to be in Battle Creek, Michigan, a rally at the Kellogg Arena.
I'm sure that's going to be a classic.
10,000 seats. And you know what? There'll probably be 10, 20,000 outside waiting to get in. And the split
from the night before.
And think about this. I mean, literally, the night that the House will be passing impeachment against the President of the United States, Trump fans couldn't be any more excited. They couldn't be any more energized. They know this is going nowhere when it gets to the Senate, and they're going to rally and show their support for the president.
If you put it in perspective, Richard Nixon was on a helicopter on the South Lawn. He didn't even stick around for the vote. They went to him and cut a deal after the Judiciary Committee was basically, was it Friday morning was the vote, or Thursday or Friday morning of last week. At that time, they went to Nixon, cut the deal. He was on a helicopter at the same time that President Trump would be in a rally. Clinton had the long face, right? They were moping around, right? They knew this was bad. President Trump's the exact opposite. He's gonna embrace this and punch back.
He's going to punch back, and that's why I said historians are going to look so unfavorably on Pelosi and the Democrats here. I mean, Trump, I mean, they're going to go, Steve, these guys are going to get President Trump reelected. The backlash is going to be that severe.
Why do you say that? A lot of people are saying that. Many people are saying that that could be true. Is that because of what you see in Brexit? Is it what you see when you were hosting the C-SPAN show? When you look at the numbers, how do you see this?
Because it has a cleansing effect on the years of drama leading up to this. And so you take the...
Where's the Mueller obstruction of justice?
Exactly.
Boom. So, I got obstruction of Congress. Hey, note to Congress, 90% of the American people would like to obstruct you. Your approval rating in Congress is, what, 6%, 7%? People would love to obstruct Congress.
So what people are realizing is this, you know, first it was the popular vote, then it was Comey, then it was this two-year Mueller drama.
The nullification project.
Right. And then that the people are realizing now that, you know what, they're just trying to get him. They can't beat him at the ballot box. Now they're trying to get him. This will have a cleansing effect on everything up until the 2020 election. People are going to look at the economy. They're going to look at the great trade deals he's getting done. You're going to see all of the public policy successes, the parental leave, all these great things that he's doing. They're going to say, you know what? I like the direction he's going. I like my 401k. Let's stick with Trump.
We're going to take a short commercial break here, but I want to go to the in the witness protection program that is the Democratic campaign right now. You very rarely ever hear impeachment. I realize a couple of those people got to be jurors, but the Mayor Pete's and the other, why is impeachment not a burning topic on the campaign trail in the Democratic primary?
Because they know it's a loser. Even base Democrats.
That reinforces your point to you, right?
Yes. Yeah, that reinforces everything. I mean, if Mayor Pete and the folks who are struggling to try to one-up each
become
other—
become relevant.
Right, exactly. Alfred E. Newman, I mean, if Alfred E. Newman thought this would bolster him in Iowa,
he's so bad.
Then he would be out there talking
about it.
You're
like your boss. You're like your former boss. You just love doing it. Okay, Stephen K. Bannon and Jason Miller, take a short commercial break. War Room Impeachment. Go to warroom.org, the 24-hour site. We're going to be back in a moment.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room Impeachment on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Episode 73, live from a rainy and dreary Capitol Hill. As we start a dreary week, it will lead to the impeachment of the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, on Wednesday by Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi and this radical cadre that now controls the Democratic Party. John Fredericks Radio Network, Salem Broadcast Radio Network throughout the nation, America's Voice.News. Newsmax TV. Jason, we're down. The Dirty 30 is dropped. Is not the Dirty 30 anymore. A bunch of them have already announced. Have already made a stand. Where are we in all this?
Yeah. So it's now down to a dirty dozen of these freshman Democrats from Trump districts. And you can one other person who's obviously not a freshman but who's now undecided, Tulsi Gabbard. Which I think is very interesting. She's made a lot of noise recently running for president in the Democratic primary.
If she's to have a future in the Trump movement, because she and Yang are very Trumpian, mm-hmm. particularly her national security policy, foreign policy, she's clearly, I call her the queen of the insults, right? If she wins the Drudge poll. That's why they stopped doing Drudge polls on the debates, because she would win every one, although she'd be on for 2 seconds. If she votes to impeach, is she formally done with the is the deplorables formally cut her loose?
Yeah. Yeah, if she votes for impeachment, there's no road to redemption. I mean, there's no, hey, I'm good on some foreign policy things. She's basically saying, I want a life in the Democratic Party. But here's the thing that I think Tulsi Gabbard needs to realize. Democrats are never going to accept her because she doesn't go along to get along. And that's why so many Republicans and Trump supporters like Gabbard, because she's willing to go and actually take on the establishment. But what we're down to, Steve, now, we call it the dirty dozen. And there are dozen, and I think one of the untold stories here is the fact that Pelosi still has a dozen of these freshmen she can't get on board.
I tell you, that to be forced, if you had told me 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago, she was going to be forced to whip people in these independent districts. I would say somebody mishandled this, Adam Schiff or somebody. You've got a clip you want to play from yesterday, C-SPAN.
Yeah,
this is another self-promotion of Jason Miller. You're going to come back and renegotiate your deal after this?
Exactly. No, I mean, look, impeachment's running to a ground. I got to have a life after this. It's not going anywhere.
Trial. He wants a long trial.
I was asked yesterday by Steve Scully on C-SPAN who I thought the Democratic nominee would be. In my answer, I think the eyes almost popped out of poor Steve's head.
And if you had to decide today who you think the Democrats will nominate, not who you want, but who do you think? Who do you think it will be?
Hillary Clinton.
Really?
Yeah. I think Hillary's going to get in. Democratic field is very unimpressive. She's currently leading in the polls, and it's clear that Democrats aren't really that happy with who they have at the top.
Have Bloomberg and potentially Clinton added a real dynamic? Is it just a media dynamic?
I think it's largely media dynamic. I mean, Bloomberg's getting chopped up for a whole host of business reasons today.
They're chopping up Mayor Pete for being a Grandoona McKenzie.
I know. And the guy, look, here's the thing. The guy, it's not like he built a stage and then got up there and fired everyone.
He's not Mitt Romney, no.
Right. But the guy was a research analyst for 3 years.
Reminds me of a guy making his first communion. Okay, we've got to bounce. We're going to get to more of this. We're going to be back tomorrow. Actually, tonight, live, a show, 6 o'clock, Jason Miller, Raheem Kassam. I'm going to try to make it. And then the rest of the week, 5 p.m. every day of the week, 2 shows, 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Stick around. We're going to go to Vox Populi, the call-in show for the next 2 hours, 888-480-5646. Vox Populi will follow for the next 2 hours on the John Frederick Radio Network and America's Voice.News. Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, until tonight at 6 p.m. Goodbye.